I think that one of the main pieces of the band coming together was the fact that when we met, neither one of us knew that the other one was a musician. And there was actually no intention beyond sitting around and singing together and just finding that harmony, that it worked. There was no, like, we have to learn to do this, or I want this from you, or you want this from me. It was just a very unintentional finding of what we did together.
Let's talk about all of this moving around, and let's go back, because there is a lot of stuff that is very flowery and beautiful in the bio, but it doesn't really get to the nitty-gritty of why all of this moving around to then get back home.
I think that we've always been very transient, and I think that part of our survival for us is being in motion and testing ourselves and trying new places. And when we moved first to Los Angeles, you know, we were really called to be there, and that time came to an end, and we were called back to Baltimore. And I think that you have to really be open to circumstances, and I think that we found ourselves sometimes in a situation where it was for survival, or it was because we were just really called to be with someone when they were going through something that was very, you know, devastating. So we've always just tried to listen to what life has put in front of us and tried to be as adaptable as possible. And I think that that lies in all of the music that we make.
You mentioned survival, and I think a lot of it was, like, when we were in our first year of our marriage, when we were moving around like that, and we just wanted to see where we were supposed to be. And I think every place had something to offer, but wasn't where we needed to be at that exact moment. I think we ended up in Chicago for the longest period of time because that was where we could make music and do it in a way that it didn't really have any influences from the outside. We could work a job and then come back and work on the house and work on music, and we could be as loud or as soft as we needed to be. And then when we finally got back to Baltimore, you know, that's when Eden and Matt came into the fold, and we started recording this new record, Only You Remain, and the songs just fell into place, the sound fell into place, and I think that's really just where that came from.
Because you mentioned the hair was involved in the meeting, but you didn't mention how the meeting happened, and you also mentioned you didn't know you were musicians. So that leads to some, that's an enigma. There's some interesting stuff going on there, because obviously there was physical attraction, but there wasn't necessarily attraction by way of, oh, I saw her up on stage, and next thing you know, that was it. So fill in a couple of blanks. He's smiling. There's got to be some good blanks. There's some blanks there.
I can tell you how the story started. We met in a bar, and I was leaving in 3 days.
Where were you leaving for?
We were in Baltimore, Maryland. The bar was Holy Free Holies. It's still there. My friends were throwing a going away party for me, and I was walking up to the bar to buy another round of drinks, and I saw Chris facing away from me, so I only saw her hair, and she did have long red hair that was beyond her waist, and I just very, without really knowing what I was doing, just kind of tapped her on the shoulder and said, "Excuse me, miss, but have you ever measured your hair?" And she, I'll never do a good one again, you know. And I think it only worked because she answered it perfectly. She just turned, looked right at me, grabbed her hair and said, "No," but pulled it out and said, "It's about this long." And I said, "I'd like to buy you a drink." And I was very lucky as well, because she was being hit on by someone she didn't want to be hit on. And so I became a very, very nice, I slid right in where I was supposed to.
What a great trick.
Yeah, and then from that point on, I asked her on 5 dates that night, because I extended my leaving from 3 to 5 days. And I was like, I need 5 dates with you. And that was our first five dates. And then I went to Boston. We sort of traveled back and forth. I quit my job in Boston, came back down here to be with her. She went to Mexico. And then she came back. And when she arrived back at the airport, I proposed.
Sit here and just wallow in the romance. Let's just all, I just need to take a moment here to just absorb all this beauty. Let's talk business. Enough of the romance. Let's talk some business. Okay, which part of business shall I start with? Jobs, money, the industry. How to make enough. Is everybody still working? Because you mentioned, you know, Boston, so you obviously had a career. What else was everybody doing, and what else is everybody still doing to survive?
Well, when I was a kid, my folks would take me out to flea markets, and my mother restored furniture, and I come from a long line of very crafty folk, and I, from the age of 16, started selling antiques out of the back of my Cutlass Sierra Oldsmobile, and did that then for close to over 10 years at this point, and did a bit of interior design as well, but a lot of restoration work is what I've been up to when not playing.
Being a full-time musician, that means I bartend full-time as well.
I'm a graphic designer by trade.
You've got an EP, right? Self-produced, am I correct? Is it self-produced? So that's by choice.
Yeah, I think that you know, Paul had said that he and I were musicians from before we had met and really known that about one another, but Paul is the producer that I think I could only ever work with. I think he really allows me to take my art to places that I had been intentioned to go there, but I didn't have the foresight to take it there, and he has done such beautiful work on this record that we're about to put out, and I'm so proud of it.
Having gone into studios and worked with engineers and producers and spent lots of money that I never really got anything out of beyond, you know, a recorded set of songs, I just one day, I think I just decided that let me try this. And when we were in Chicago and I had the time, I had the ideas, the sound in my head. I think a lot of it was just fiddling around and just, you know, 10,000 hours, just doing it over and over and over again until you got the thing that you wanted.
In this lovely world where you can have a hit simply by getting it out there. You've got the EP. It's gotten some buzz, most definitely. But the whole hype thing and the buzz thing versus the purity of the music and the what it takes, you know, and the publicity and the touring and all the stuff beyond the art itself.
So 6 Degrees came on about a year or so ago, and they've been predominantly a world record label and have put out beautiful things. And Bob, who is the owner of the label, had come across our music and will co with Pat Barry. And it left an impression on him, and he understood it. And I feel like we're in just such great hands. And we had self-released things for years, and there was never any intention for it. I mean, Paul and I, one of the basis of our relationship and the way that we communicate with one another is through songwriting. And so when we were living in all these different places, there were things to be told to one another and things to be shared. And we would place music online because a lot of the folks that we wanted to share this with were back home. And so the real kind of beginnings of this were just about keeping people close that we couldn't always access because we were so transient for a period. And it slowly just kind of caught on, and we're very grateful for 6 Degrees because they're allowing us to put it out there in a capacity that we just never really envisioned.
Well, I follow a publicist, and a recent tweet of hers was, I've lived through 3,761 buzz bands. And I thought it was a very telling thing, and I actually thought it was interesting because, you know, at one point, probably in like 2012, when like Stereo Gum kind of wrote about us and all that kind of stuff, we were one of those, and then we kind of went away.
2012, that's 4 years
Yeah,
ago.
Exactly. And I think that that's one of the things that we have always tried to sort of stand behind. Like, we realized that we had, it was cool. It was awesome that that happened, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't overnight success. We weren't paying all of our bills. We weren't traveling the world. We weren't, you know, we had made music and some people had written about it, and that was, we were very thankful for it. But we wanted to keep going. We wanted to keep finding a way to do this in a larger sense. And, you know, a lot of that is finding the right people to play music with. And a lot of that is team. And I think that, you know, coming together with Six Degrees, coming together with Missy Peace Group, coming together with Matt and Eden and Chris and I having the time to sort of form these songs, and these guys taking the time to really to play a role in it. I mean, that took time, and that took behind closed doors. That was completely not out in the open. It's so uncool, some of the stuff, you know, when you're just sitting in a room, you know, in a shed, sweating your ass off, you know, working on a song.
Genres. You could be like Americana, or you could be like alt country. How do you straddle that insane thing in the world we live in, that everybody has to have a category for everything that they're listening to?
Well, I think just speaking for Paul and I, we've always just been songwriters. It's always, as you have said, it's about the song. And, you know, being at South By is very funny, because we had this joke going yesterday where there's so many bands and you hear so many types of music, and you just ask yourself, like, music, is that you? Like, it's like so hard to get a sense of where things are going. The genres have been stretched and they've been manipulated, and I think that there's something to speak for that. But there's also, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what I'm hearing, but if it speaks to me and if it has resonance, then I think that that's what we're very drawn to. And we all come from such diverse backgrounds in terms of what we listen to and the kinds of projects we've been in, and it's all there. Everything is there, and I think that I really appreciate that we're coming from so many different places, and I think that we just are going to keep doing what we're doing, you know, whatever it calls, I guess that just remains up to what someone interprets, and I think that's a part of it that keeps it interesting.
The fact that it's only a remain, I know that there's been a lot of loss. So tell me a little bit about how that really has weaved its way into the music.
It's been a long road for us. I mean, this record has been 6 years in the making now. We've always wanted an opportunity to present a full piece. And Only You Remain, to me, is about trusting in what you have. And there is so much of life that is so out of your hands. And I can always depend upon that no matter what happens, I have Paul. No matter what happens, I have myself. And it's a call to arms to just know that no matter what happens, there is peace in those things, and that they remain. And I think that, you know, there is a lot of loss on this record, but there's a lot of hope, and there's a lot of celebration as to where we are now and where we're headed.
I think that you get a lot of stuff thrown at you, you know, no matter what. And I think that how you handle it is really up to the individual, and how you go about dealing with it is your own thing. For us, it was writing these songs, recording these songs, and now playing these songs live. And you know, every time we play this record or these songs, it becomes more clear in my mind that we're clearing the air, in a sense. We're letting it go, and we're just gonna put it out there, let people grab onto it in the way that they want to grab onto it. And I love that about it. I love that we are finally getting to, you know, I guess just like let go of some of this. You know, you got to move forward in order to keep growing. And, you know, this is one record, this was one period in our life, and who knows what the next one will be, or if we will get the opportunity to make another one. but this one, we're going to go out there, we're going to sing these songs, and just share whatever we can.
I invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and what it is two of your songs as the bread, and then songs by other people in between.